Dog House here on NTNRadio.com and all those other good places you give your podcasts. I was pointing to Ken, who's not here. He can't bring the show in if he's not here. Warren wasn't even looking. He was facing off into La La Land. Nice opening, Warren. Thank you. Thank you for the
You're support. Much welcome. In my mind, it was a great introduction.
Yeah, in your mind. I mean, the echo in there must have been just terrible bouncing around.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome. Yeah. So we had a lot of racing. A
lot of racing this weekend.
I feel like I didn't watch enough, although I watched a bunch.
Supercross 250, 450, World Superbike Race, Super Pole Race 1, Race 2, MotoGP Super Pole and Race, Moto 2. Tell me that's not too much racing in 1 week.
Yeah, it's just Moto 2, World Superbike. There was some flat track, but I didn't watch.
Well, could you have watched it? That's the key.
No, it was like from 6 weeks ago or whenever they do it. I don't know what that is. Not sometime I wanted to really watch, but just a ton of racing going on. Man, Spain was like loaded. So we have a listener who lives over in Spain, and I guess they had at one of the tracks there, and I'm not really all that familiar with the track names. So for anybody who's overseas, I'm sorry. But apparently they had the Spanish motocross season started. So Prada was over there racing. He was posting up videos all weekend long from a track him and his son and a couple other people went to. So that was kind of cool. I got to watch a little bit of, you know, guys going through the corners and stuff. See Prada, who ran a couple of rounds of Supercross early.
Yeah, he didn't do too bad.
Yeah.
And he's going to be running full-time next year.
Yeah. So
in Supercross.
It'd be interesting. You know, it was just kind of cool to watch. And I mean, Spain and Portugal, man, that whole little Iberian Peninsula there, man, they had like all the racing. They had motocross and MotoGP, World Superbike. You know,
it was the place to be.
Shame that they were running around the same time. So you couldn't like drive to one and go to the other, drive to one. I love to, when I can do that, I do that. Warren's been with me where we went to a Motor America race at night. We went over and watched the K&N Series East race. That, you know, roundy round car track and then come back and watch more Moto America. If I can get two races or three races in a weekend watching a couple different series.
Well, if you can find your way down to COTA, it's coming 2 weeks from now, you'll be able to see race one and race two Superbikes, Super Pole, MotoGP, Moto America.
Different tracks, though.
It'd still be fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. You know,
you'd never get a chance to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, well, whatever. Just pee where you are, bud. But I had a friend who was an IndyCar spotter, and he would go to the IndyCar races, and that was his job, and watch. But, like, the night before the IndyCar race, he'd find, like, a dirt track and go watch, like, 410 sprints or three, he would just go and watch other kinds of races. So it was always a fun guy to hang out with. We would be in Baltimore at the Baltimore Grand Prix when Indy and American Law watched race theirs, and that night we'd go to like Port Royal to watch like dirt racing. It was a lot of fun. So I enjoy doing that kind of stuff. Anyways, let's get into Supercross. They were in Seattle.
Dirt was interesting. The Dirt Works crew did a great job of getting that thing set up for the race, first race, the 250 main. But by the time it got to the 450 main, it was a royal mess.
Like everything in Supercross this year, it rained all the day before and all that stuff, and they had a lot of moisture. They tried scraping it out into the center. I think they did a great job. I don't think the track was all that horrible. I actually liked that it was challenging. Guys had to slow down some. But there was a lot of places to pass.
If you got the right rut to go through.
Well, that's part of being a professional.
Yeah. Some of those ruts were like 2 feet deep.
That's part of being a professional. There's a reason I'm not out there racing it. I picked the wrong ruts. Those guys, they picked the right ruts. That's why they're pros. and I'm old.
And also, you break the suspension on the bikes too.
Yeah, there's a lot of other reasons, but in my mind, it's just that they do better rut picking than I do. But yeah, I mean, 250, the 250 East, it looks like Kitchen. Levi Kitchen has decided he wants to win the championship.
And in the beginning of the year, trying hard to do it.
In the beginning of the year, we talked about Shimoda, we talked about Jordan Smith, we talked about RJ Hampshire, and we talked about Levi Kitchen being a year or two off, maybe more, right? All this kind of stuff. But yeah, here he is, cranks out a second win. He's Shimoda's only had one race off the podium in the six round save time.
Shimoda's been a no show. Smith can't stay on the bike.
He finishes well when he finishes.
But he didn't start finishing anything until like last week.
No, so he's essentially no show. One zippy, only one.
But he hasn't finished well any other time. He's not. He's not in.
No, he's got a fourth, a third.
Those are not good places if you want to be competitive for the championship.
I mean, if you told me somebody that their worst finish was going to be a, but other than one crash, it's going to be a fourth. But
there's a lot of expectations on Shimoda.
I'm gonna tell you this: that one crash is keeping him out of third place, if not second place. Right. I mean, that's where that's at, right?
He wasn't the only one impacted by that crash.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. But Kitchen has been very consistent. He's been doing a good job. And Jordan Smith can't seem to stay on the bike. He's wiping himself out.
Yeah.
What did he do it three times in the main?
I'll be honest with you, I'm shocked because I thought the hit he took and the way he hit, I thought he had a concussion.
From that first crash.
And he struggled. Yeah, from that first crash. When he got and he struggled, I was like, why are they not pulling him over and putting him in concussion protocol? I would not.
You're not
be
the only one.
He has a concussion.
You're not the only one that thought that, but he didn't hit his head. Of course, you can get it from getting a whiplash as well, and he could have got a whiplash and got the concussion. But he didn't hit his head, and he wasn't on the ground, you know, that long in the grand schemes of things. So he got up relatively quickly, got the bike up, and took off. You know, if you're standing there right there next to him and you didn't see him hit his head, and he got up relatively quickly and then got on the bike fairly cleanly in the position that was in, what would you have done? If you was that track guy standing right there, you would have done the same thing. You'd have let him go.
Yeah, more than likely. But I'm not an expert.
Neither are they.
Professionals.
But no, those guys are not. They're not. Well, they don't follow the circuit. They're there.
Some of them do.
Not many. Right?
Some of them are the Alpine medical staff that do follow the circuit.
Yeah, those guys do, but they're not on the track.
But I'm
watching
just saying,
things.
Yeah, they are. They're around. I'm just saying in general, like when he was all wobbly, if I was his team, I'd have called him in the pit because he just.
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of.
He had the sense knocked out of him.
But you know, I'm not a big fan of the medical crew this year because of what, you know, multiple reasons, including what happened to Faulkner. You know, a guy who's got a broken neck, who you let get up and walk while you're holding him in a neck brace and holding him straight. That's bullcrap.
Yeah, maybe he lied about his broken neck and didn't tell him.
but he laid there more than 10 or 15 seconds too. So anyway, I'm not a big fan of what's going on with the medical side of Supercross this year.
Not a big fan of anything.
Yeah, I am. I'm a big fan of me.
Yeah, that's how's about that? It. about trying to cause controversy instead of just saying what's out there. So anyways,
I'm saying what's out there. I'm not the only one saying this.
If it's not me saying it, nobody else matters. So Levi Kitchen is looking like he wants to be. He's looking like he wants to be the guy.
Yes, he does.
Which I'm good. Which I'm shocked. I'm not surprised. I am a little because he switched manufacturers this year. Went to a different team, thought, okay, hey, you know, but
he may have needed the change of venue. Yep. He may needed a change of everything, and he got it. And he seems to be happier and racing better than he did before. Yeah. So
and the rest of the field, I just don't feel like I know Smith had the crash and Hampshire just had a bid. I mean, don't get me wrong. He came up to second, but he wasn't like Hampshire where you thought, oh, my God. It was no way I thought he was going to catch
him. No. No, there was no.
Shimoda finally see it put a whole race together, come in third. That was a decent race where he didn't have to fight to get to third. But other guys we talked about, Marchbanks, Moseman, Thrasher, you know, they were kind of Ryder D. You want to talk about who's being the most disappointment to me?
Yeah.
Lately is Ryder D. Francesco.
Yeah. He looked
right.
I was expecting more of him.
Yeah. I mean, he's not where I thought he would be. And stuff. And I just don't know. I think I don't think he's where I think he's behind where he should be. But anyways, Levi Kitchen wins the championship. I'm happy for him. You could be talking to the guy who takes NMC and Cirolo's ride next year. 250s East champ, both Kawasaki's.
Yeah, that's going to be a vacant spot, if not before the end of the year, after the season for sure. But do you want to promote him? You want to promote Levi after the first time, or give him a chance to get another year's experience under his belt?
You know, a lot of guys came up after their first 250s championship. Yeah. So I don't.
Not a lot of them did all that great either.
A lot of them did. I mean, you know, like Ryan Dungy, Eli Tomac. Ryan Villopoto.
There are some
Supercross legends. You know, you're right.
Yeah.
But
not all of them do.
Well, not everybody can win all the races when somebody else is winning all the races. But what I'm saying, is that you also can leave him in 250s where he's got a chance to be the next NMC and Cirolo. You know, I mean, like, why not race him hard for a championship? I don't know. You know, for 450s, you got to have something to combat the Jet Lawrence media machine.
Because we know that Faulkner's not going to be moving up this next year.
Yeah,
he might. If once he gets back on a bike, he may end up killing himself based on all the injuries he's had.
Don't be like that.
He's a huge disappointment because he just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean, but
it happens.
Cirolo, same thing.
The rough sport,
Kennard, right?
Mm-hmm. Rough sport.
It's a rough sport. Anyways, so 250s. 250s. It looks like Levi Kitchen is going to do that. But like we get 1 week of the East or West, and now we're going back to the East. St. Louis is coming up. We're going back to the East. I don't know. It's too much back and forth right now.
Yeah, that does. I'm not a big fan of that piece of it.
I wish they'd race, you know, like the whole season, then come together at the end, right?
Yes, I agree.
Something this constant back and forth thing is taxing on my brain. I get it that they're trying to keep guys in race shape and stuff.
Well, not only that, but they get more exposure to, you know, you got 40 people in each group that qualifies, right? Mm-hmm. So you're getting to see more talent. The teams are getting to look at more people, you know, in the 250s and see, do we want to run them? So I understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
But as a fan, run all the East at one, you know, run all the East, run all the West. This back and forth, this gets a little bit confusing at times.
Yeah, a lot bit. Because now you spend as much time Googling the East or West. Anyways, let's get into the 450s. You know,
my biggest takeaway, and something I kind of enjoyed, Roczen had to go to the LCQ.
I mean, who doesn't like seeing Roczen in the LCQ? But well, he came out strong out of the LCQ.
Oh, yes, he did. from a bad position. He did look good in the race. But I thought it was funny because, you know, he is the – times it's hard to tell if Jet is the wonder boy for NBC, where motorsports go to die, or if Roczen is still the wonder boy for NBC, where motorsports
go to die. I think they realize that Roczen is fading. So they're pushing up Jet. I mean, even the fact that during Hunter's first ever career heat race went in 450s, they had to go to his little brother. That is just, like, if I was Hunter and they came up to me for an interview, I'd be like, why don't you go talk to my brother, jerk, and walk away. right? I would totally do a Cal Crutchlow to him. Remember MotoGP when they had that rain race and talking all that stuff, and Cal Crutchlow yelled at the media? That's what Hunter needs to do. I'll tell you what. I'm going to say this, and I know Jets got a commanding lead, like 16 points on them or something. We're a little past halfway in the season. But you can't let Cooper Webb linger around.
No, because Cooper
Webb
will.
He was not
the
fast rider, and he worked the fastest rider, and he worked his ass off. He ran the race right, and he got that win. And Sexton.
And if it's in bad conditions on a harsh track, he's got a better chance than Jet of winning.
Yeah. And Jet made some mistakes trying to get through.
But
when he didn't have unforced errors.
Yes. But I will give Jet some serious consideration here. There were times that he could have tried to pass. There's times he could have done, you know, crazy stuff to try to get ahead, but he didn't. He took what the track gave him. And I think that showed a little bit more maturity than we've seen in the last few races. Now, will it stick?
Yeah, but then he tried a couple times when it wasn't smart. Like, yeah. I mean, he did hit Cooper Webb once.
Well, he tried to. He missed, but he tried to.
I think he got the back tire a little bit, right? Like, I think, I don't know. I don't know whether he believes his own hype. And I think that this was an interesting race because I think you saw that Webb and Sexton, you know, Ricky Carmichael always talks about, you know, figuring out the racetrack, figuring out the race, figuring out who you're racing against, right? And I think Sexton and Webb have finally figured out how to race Lawrence. The last couple weeks, even though he had the win last week and stuff like that, they were able to make it a little rougher on him. And look, even Plessinger was all up on him at the end of that race.
Well, yeah, but you got to be able to catch him. If he gets the whole shot, he's going to take the race. You know, we talked about it before. So if you're going to try that route,
but that's anybody really. I don't know. It's not everybody.
Well, yeah, you got a lot of
back markers that are getting good whole shots.
Yeah, but if Jet gets the whole shot, it's going to be tough to run him down. It can be done. Sexton's proven it can be done, but it's not going to be easy.
So, I think in general that this fight isn't over. I mean, that's the big thing I took out of it, that even though there's a little bit of lead, he's 23 over Sexton. You know, you see that every now and then unforced error with Jet Lawrence, and realistically,
yeah,
it's just one DNF.
Crash. It's just one DNF, and it's even up.
Or he's behind, you know. And, you know, Cooper Webb, he ain't that far from a couple. He ain't that far from a couple seconds of being within
he's a couple
one
good
race.
Block passes away.
Yeah. some tough block passes. And you can ask Ken Rocks and NBC. I think Cooper Webb just hates NBC Golden Boys. Right? Ken Rocks was a Golden Boy. Cooper Webb just ruined him. Jet Lawrence is the Golden Boy. I would stay clear of Cooper Webb. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. You know, I'm going to say this too. I'm not 100% sure El Hombre, Jason Anderson's Kawasaki seat and could be available at the end of the year. You talk about a guy who's having.
That's a good question. That is good. Because you know, I've called several of these racers are going to be done at the end of the year, if not sooner.
Yeah, and you're just making that up to try and grab headlines and stuff.
Why not? But.
Because I don't.
Because not like you've never done that anytime.
No,
ever
I
in the past.
When I do that stuff, it's not pre-planned. Yours, you can tell it's pre-planned. I just say stupid stuff all the time. I'm an idiot.
Anyway, I think there's going to be several seats coming open next year. Barsha is another one. I think is going to probably not be around next season.
Who's Gas going to sign?
It could be somebody from the 250s.
Nah.
You know, George Smith's going to probably finish second. If
George
he doesn't
Smith's like
keep
5 years older than Barsha. I don't know if he is, but he.
I don't
George
think
Smith
he
is nowhere near as fast as Barsha either. If you're Gas, you want to have somebody that's got a shot at winning a race. And so long as they race in Anaheim, you've got that shot with Barsha.
You used to, but he hasn't done it in a while.
Yeah, like 2 years. Big deal, right?
2 years is a lifetime.
Fan favorites, right? But I could see Anderson. I could see all new Kawasaki riders. Seeing Sorolla, I
would agree with you if Faulkner was available.
Oh, if Faulkner was available, for sure.
Yeah,
but Anderson, I don't know if they're happy with him. He's got a lot of off podium finishes.
Yeah, but who are they going to bring up? I mean,
that could be where your somebody moves from.
It could be.
Right, like
Tomac. I don't think Tomac will be back next year. Roczen probably will be. Plessinger should be.
Yeah, but Roczen's seat isn't going to be sought after. That's not that great of a team.
I think there'll be two vacant seats on Yamaha next year. Fernandez has done nothing.
Yeah, well.
So I think there'll be two vacant
seats. Yeah, that was going to be that was supposed to be vacant this year anyways. The only reason they signed him is they weren't sure about Tomac in the beginning of the year. Right? But there is going to be one there, right? Because I wouldn't get rid of Cooper. I think Justin Cooper next year will be even stronger than he is this year. And I think he's having a great season so far this year.
You got the list up. Where is he? Fifth overall?
Eighth overall.
Eighth? I thought he was a little bit higher than that. But okay.
Nah, he had that one race that he didn't make because of injury, and that's hurt him. Right? But if it wasn't for that, he'd probably be sixth, seventh, somewhere over there.
Right. Well, anyway, we got all off season to bash that around.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's get into World Superbike. Listen, anything we don't finish today, folks, we will get to next week because we know we got a ton of
yeah. There's no Moto,
a ton of racing.
Yeah, there's no Moto GP next week. There's no World Superbike next week.
Supercross is going to be in St. Louis next week, and they will be in St. Louis, and they will be East, it'll be 250 East. Now, as far as getting over to World Superbike, right? Here's what I'm going to say. No surprises. Well, I guess one, Crazy Joe Iannone being on the podium in the sprint race is a little bit of a surprise. But
a little bit, yeah.
The bigger surprise is Raz Gadiago got that BMW dialed in. We all thought that was a death sentence to him.
Yeah, he's
and he rocked three podiums, including two wins.
He looked good. Now Bautista, I was impressed with him in race one, going from 14th to third.
Yeah.
And I think if there had been another lap, maybe two more laps, he would have been second. I don't think he would have won the race without a big, five or six more laps. But I think if another lap, he might have finished second because he was hot. In race
I know
one.
Ken and a couple other people have been on big on Buliga. I'm not saying I think Buliga's slow. I think he's slow, but I'm gonna tell you this. I think there are gonna be other people. I think Alex Lowe's and Sam was both of those brothers looked fast this weekend, although
yeah,
they both
did.
Had problems, right? But Toprak's not going anywhere. He's only getting better.
He has a win in him this year.
Who, Sam Lowe's?
No, Toprak.
He's got two this weekend.
I think he's got some more in him this week.
Okay. I was going to say, he's definitely showed the BMW can be fast, and that's going to be a headache for a lot of other people. You know what I mean? I can see that being a problem for Buliga more than Bautista. I think Bautista's starting to warm up a little bit. You know, Bautista in the past a couple times has gone through where he's been hot and cold and hot and cold, right? I think he's starting to maybe get towards the warm. He's got the three podiums, including the race two win, where he looked good in that one.
Yep.
And stuff, and you know, we'll see how that plays out. But I'm not overly sold on Buliga yet.
Well, he is your points leader.
Yeah, I know. He's our
And
points leader
and
because he
he's
had.
podiumed in every race, I think.
No.
Maybe not the first one.
No, he's only podiumed in three races, right? He won race one in Australia, and then he's got a second and a second. But everybody's really hot on him. I think he's not. I don't think. I know he showed speed in practice, but you know what I think of practice. I wish Ken was here so I could tell him that reality slips in and that's what
Practice?
happens.
You talking about practice?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he's fast in practice. Who cares? And that's kind of where my head's at on that.
What do you think about that penalty that put Bautista in 14th place? What was your thoughts on that?
The ride through?
Yeah.
Don't roll the start. Would you...
It's hard to tell that I don't,
No, it
I
wasn't. When they showed the slow motion, he was moving before anybody else. He was
Or did
rolling.
he
It
just
wasn't.
see it faster than anybody
No,
else?
no, 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 no. Because he wasn't hard on the gas. He was like rolling and then got harder.
But it
You
was
can
in
see
slow-mo. You couldn't
his
tell.
wrist twist when everybody else did. He deserved that. I don't know if he deserved
That
two ride-throughs, but
was a
he
bit rough,
damn
I
sure
thought.
deserved one. But I guess they do that based on the length of the ride-through lane. But he definitely deserved one. He was way early. He was rolling, and the rules are pretty specific, right? Don't move. Not that hard. Just don't move. The worst part is, I think that roll held him up longer.
It did.
Yeah, right?
It
Like,
did.
I think he knew he was rolling and then hit the gas light to not get caught.
Yeah,
So that was like a triple penalty.
by the time he took off, everyone else was already ahead of him.
Yeah, they were full throttle. And he was like, do, 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 do. But he deserved it, right? That was clear as day. I
Yeah,
don't
I
think,
don't know if it was two. I kind of like you. I think it was more of a one than a two,
especially because I think it hurt him on the start. But
but like I
is what it
said,
is.
14th to third, and probably could have finished second if there had been one additional lap.
And a frog's ass wouldn't hit the ground if its legs were longer. You know, I mean, ifs and buts.
And what the hell's going on with Jonathan Ray?
Who?
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was still racing.
Sure doesn't seem like it.
I
I
was
think
like,
he's regretting the move to Yamaha.
yeah, what'd he get? He got 8th place, Patty Yamaha.
Yep.
You know, we all got mad at Gerloff when he left there. When he left Yamaha, we'll say. Right? Because I think he was like GMT or whatever. We were all like, that's dumb, that's dumb. But man, the BMWs keep getting better. And Gerloff's still beating Redding, who everybody thinks is fast and stuff. But
Yeah.
Ray is just like, if your bike can only get an 8th place with Ray on it, you got problems.
Yeah. And Gerloff's 10th overall, which, only two races in, that's not too bad.
Yeah, yeah, but you're still 2 whole race weekends in, which means he scored an average of
Wow.
4 points
Is
a race.
that time already?
Yeah, well, you talked too much during Supercross with Jerry.
I did.
You did. You were terrible. All right,
Oh
next
my
week we're
God.
gonna talk Supercross in San Luis, and then we're gonna talk some Moto2 because we gotta talk about God Bless America and Moto2, and we might talk some MotoGP2. I
Yeah,
know
because
everybody
Marquez
wanted to
got
hear me
robbed.
rant and rave, but here I'll just lead off with saying we'll talk about it more next week. I think this is the best race weekend we've seen out of Joe Roberts.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, not just because it was career best finish, because I know there'll be people, well, people are wrecking in front of him, but he earned that podium the right way. He worked hard and they couldn't shake him. So we'll get to that next week. Again, we'll have no Ken next week, so it's like being on vacation for us.
Oh,
Going
it
to
feels so
aggravate
good.
us. I'm sure Ken is probably hibernating somewhere, worried about the eclipse and turning into a werewolf or something. We'll be back next week. Same time, although you're downloading on a podcast, I don't think that actually matters. No one cares.
Time
Good
is
job, Joe Roberts.
irrelevant.
We'll talk about you next week.